Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. As we each live our lives, it is easy to get caught up in the hectic pace of what we do each day. And for some, each day can be a burden to endure. Because we live a physical existence, we depend on physical things to sustain our life. Without food and water, eventually we will die. Without air, we will die very quickly. We live in a world where most are naturally concerned about the here and now. And yet as Christians, we are taught not to be worried about the here and now, but to first seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. In one of his earliest messages, Jesus taught that we are not to worry about our physical needs and should take comfort knowing that God the Father already knows our physical needs. Instead of worshiping nature and the creation as is so common, we should look to creation and nature as a reminder, an affirmation that as God the Father provides for his creation, so he will provide for each of us. Let's review what Jesus said as recorded in Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In a time of conspiracy theories, there should be no conspiracy about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a kingdom of this world. You will not travel to any location on this planet at this moment and find yourself in the kingdom of God. When Jesus was on trial immediately before his crucifixion, Jesus found himself answering before Pilate, who told Jesus that Jesus' own nation had delivered him to be tried. It was at this point that Jesus told Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world. John 8, verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Having been told to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and now knowing that God's kingdom is not of this world, how do we go about seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness? In an earlier time of his ministry, Jesus was pressed by the Pharisees who wanted to know when the kingdom of God would come. The Pharisees were open to debate and yet had the side about them where if they could have trapped Jesus into saying anything that to them would be perceived as blasphemy or treasonous, they would have used that information against Jesus because Jesus spoke as one having authority and they felt a challenge to their religious authority. Jesus correctly told them that the kingdom of God cannot be seen with eyes. That was true when Jesus spoke these words, and it is true now. We know from the Bible that there will come a time when the kingdom of God will be seen with eyes here on earth. Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Even at the present time, the kingdom of God is not observed within the physical realm. I can travel a few miles from my home and see the border between Mexico and the United States. It is very easy to see where one country ends and another begins. The kingdom of God is not observable in that manner. We don't see it with our eyes. Paul wrote of this in part to the Romans when explaining that the kingdom of God does not consist of what we eat when addressing the consumption of meat that had been sacrificed in a pagan temple. Paul was explaining that an animal sacrificed in a pagan temple was not of and by itself unclean, but that if the idea of eating meat that had been sacrificed in a pagan temple was personally offensive, that person should not eat the sacrificed meat, and nor should other brethren use that meat to antagonize the person who is personally offended. At the present time, the kingdom of God does not consist of those things physical, like food and drink, but is focused on those things spiritual, such as righteousness, peace, and joy, so that instead of destroying each other, we make each other spiritually better and stronger. Romans 14, verse 13. Let us not, therefore, judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or any occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Even though the kingdom of God at the moment is spiritually focused, we know that one day the kingdom of God will be firmly established as a means of governance, with a common focus on the teachings of Jesus and other New Testament authors. The kingdom of God is spoken of by prophets in the Old Testament, including Daniel, who wrote that in those days of these kingdoms, referring to the kingdoms Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, the kingdom of God would be established and would never be destroyed. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar that the kingdom of God would destroy and absorb the kingdoms of men. Daniel 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Later in the book of Daniel, Daniel had a troubling vision, and it was explained to him by an angel that the kingdom of God would be possessed by the saints of God. The saints would be the citizens of the kingdom of God. Daniel also came to understand through the angel that these kingdoms would challenge the saints and even appear to gain the upper hand against them. And yet, in the end, the kingdom of God would be firmly established on earth. Daniel 7, verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Zechariah looked beyond this point to when the Lord would be king over all the earth. Zechariah explained that even though some would seek to overthrow the kingdom of God will prevail, even during a time of incredible trouble. Zechariah 14, verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananiel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. They shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as the plague. We know from Isaiah that the Lord who will rule will be Jesus Christ, who was given to us as a child, who was known as the Son of God, who will be regarded as making the kingdom of God possible through his sacrifice. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment, and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. At this moment in time, we know the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth is yet future, with certain prophetic events that still need to happen. For instance, we are told of the appearance of the two witnesses who will prophesy for 1,260 days, 3.5 years prior to the return of Jesus and the establishment of the kingdom of God. Revelation 11, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. These two witnesses are described as having fire that proceeds out of their mouth that devours their enemies. This could be supernaturally real fire that consumes, or it could refer to fiery language that completely overwhelms others. We do know these two witnesses do have the power to control the weather, and in a time when the world may still be focused on climate change, these two witnesses will be seen as enemy number one. The two witnesses will also have a few other abilities, and it will bring great joy to the world when these two are killed. That joy will be short-lived, as they will be resurrected in 3.5 days. It is when they are called up to heaven that the kingdom of God is proclaimed on earth, and notice is given that the kingdoms of men now belong to God and Jesus Christ. We know this time is yet future. Verse 5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give the reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hell. At the moment, the kingdom of God is not physically established here on earth. That will come after the two witnesses. Between now and then, the kingdom of God is in exile in heaven. Paul wrote to the Philippians about this reality and how at this time we are to have no confidence in that which is physical, the flesh, whether that refers to our own body, the collective effort of a group of people, or the government of people on earth. instead of trusting in other people, we are to trust and rejoice in Jesus Christ. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, be indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul added that because he was born of the tribe of Benjamin and circumcised as a boy, he had every reason to trust in the flesh, explaining how he originally persecuted the church, seeking to diminish the influence of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Spiritually, Paul explained that through Jesus Christ, he saw the need to rethink his perspective. And instead of focusing on those things which are physical, he began to look to those things which were spiritual. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. But be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Just like Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, Paul explained how he pressed forward to the prize, eternal life, through the calling by Jesus Christ, knowing that he had to endure enemies of Jesus Christ who focus on those things which are physical. Verse 14. I press forward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. He concludes his thoughts by saying, our conversation is in heaven, meaning our community, our citizenship is in heaven, because we look forward to the time when our bodies will be changed from the physical to the spiritual. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Extending the concept of the kingdom of God further, Paul describes us as ambassadors for Christ in a ministry of reconciliation because of the sacrifice of Jesus. We are no longer focused on the physical, but on the spiritual, knowing that through the sacrifice of Jesus, we are reconciled to God. As we are reconciled to God, we are today still part of this ministry of reconciliation, knowing that Jesus had paid the penalty for our sins so that we may be righteous before God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, we now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray for you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. As we live our life spiritually focused on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, knowing Jesus Christ has paid for our sins through his death, we are reminded in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians that the return of Jesus Christ will happen at an unexpected time. And because of this, we are to live our life soberly, fully spiritually awake, as we prepare for the kingdom of God each and every day. We need to position ourselves so that we are not overtaken by spiritual darkness. We need to remember we are engaged in spiritual warfare. When Jesus was before Pilate and said his kingdom was not of this world, that if it were his servants would fight, Jesus was correct. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Jesus' kingdom is now of the spiritual realm, and we must be engaged in spiritual warfare. We can't do that successfully and be asleep or incapacitated. We are to live our spiritual life as if we are wide awake in the middle of the day, alert and ready to spiritually battle. We must be prepared to use battle armor, starting with the breastplate of faith and love. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, as faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without love, what we do is meaningless. We also protect ourselves with the helmet of the hope of salvation, knowing that because Jesus was raised from the dead, we also have this hope for our life. Verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. We have not been called by a cruel, merciless God whose objective is to punish us. We have been called by God to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ, who came so that all who believe, whether they lived thousands of years ago or are alive today, can have eternal life. It is with this knowledge that we fight our spiritual battle, seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness each and every day. Verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We know we are to seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness on a daily basis. To others, our seeking the kingdom of God and God's righteousness will look different. These other people will not consider us as if we are seeking the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. They will instead look at how we interact with each other. It is when we follow the teachings of Jesus to love one another that others will know we belong to Jesus. It is when we love one another that we show to other people we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Other people do not need a complicated method of determining our spiritual intent. They look at the result or fruit of our faith, and a very genuine result of our faith, the fruit of the faith, is when we love one another. John 13, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. It is with this new commandment that in Hebrews we are told to let brotherly love continue. The fact we are told to allow brotherly love to continue should clue us in that brotherly love can easily be discontinued, and that is something we cannot allow to happen. It is when we have this genuine concern for others that from time to time we might unknowingly entertain angels. It is when we have genuine concern for others that we remember others who are going through really bad times in their lives, and as they suffer, we suffer with them. It is when we have genuine concern for others that we become aware of not only other people's problems, we might also become aware of lifestyle choices inconsistent with the Bible, knowing that it is God and not us who judges. It is when we have genuine concern for others that we do not covet what others have. When others have more or different than what we have, we are happy for them as we remain content with what we have been given, knowing that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. It is when we have genuine concern for others that we can boldly claim that Jesus Christ is our helper, knowing there is no fear in whatever man can do to us. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The kingdom of God is not yet of this world, and one day will dominate the world as we know it. We currently live a life where the kingdom of God is within us through the Holy Spirit, and as ambassadors for Jesus, we proclaim our allegiance to the kingdom of God each and every day by our actions. Inwardly, we seek not only the kingdom of God, we also seek God's righteousness, and others will see our allegiance to the kingdom of God as we have love for each other. Let brotherly love continue. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.